Spirit, we invite you to do your work in our hearts today, enlighten our minds, improve our understanding. We ask that you would pour out your grace upon us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the third part of my sermon series that I've titled, Doors to Jesus, Doors That Lead to Jesus. And the first week I talked about the most important door, of course, and that is the door of salvation. In order for us to get to Jesus, we need to enter in through the door of salvation. Jesus said he was the door to salvation. I talked about the verse in the book of Revelation that says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and have a relationship with them. Talking about Jesus standing at the door of our hearts, wanting to be invited in to be our Savior and our Lord. So if a person invites Christ to come in, they recognize their need of a Savior. They recognize that they are separated from God and they want to have a home in heaven. They want to have their sins forgiven. And they turn away from everything they know is wrong and invite Christ to come into their lives. And he promises to do that by sending his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us, to be his representative in our lives. And so as the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, we become a new creation in Christ, as the scriptures say. We have a home in heaven, we have our sins forgiven, and we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The second door I talked about last week was the door that allows us to draw closer to Christ, and the door that allows us on occasion to have our prayers answered. And that, of course, is the door of prayer. I talked about the importance of entering into the presence of God by spending time in prayer and seeking the Lord and not only requesting answers from him, but also seeking to use that as an opportunity to draw closer to Christ and to become more familiar with him. So this week I want to talk about a third door that leads to Jesus. And that door I might call seeking healing. Seeking healing. There was a woman who went into a doctor's office and she went into an examination room and was examined by a young doctor. And after he examined her, she went screaming, running from the room out into the hallway and running down the hallway. Well, an older doctor came out another one of the rooms and ran into her and said, What is the problem? What's the matter? And she explained the situation to him. And so he had her come into that room and sit down, and he stormed out of that room and went to the examination room where the young doctor was, and he was furious. He said, Why did you say those things to Mrs. Jones? Why did you tell her she was pregnant? She's 63 years old. She has 4 children and 8 grandchildren. And the young doctor, not looking up from his clipboard, said, Cured her hiccups though, didn't I? Most people, including many Christians, think that the only way people are healed is through the medical profession. It wouldn't occur to them to seek healing through another door. If they prayed about healing at all, it might be maybe as a last resort or something like that. Isn't it interesting that in our Old Testament lesson today, King Asa was described as having a severe disease in his feet. Perhaps it was diabetes. But this disease was something that it says that he really only sought help from physicians and not at all from the Lord. And we see the terrible outcome of that situation as a result of that. This passage really is not saying that we shouldn't consult doctors or medicine or anything like that, but that our first line of defense as Christians should be to seek healing from the Lord. And then the Lord would obviously lead us to other ways of healing through the medical profession and other medicines and things like that. But ultimately, as Christians, we are to look first of all to the Lord for our healing. The writer to the Hebrews says this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed in the past, then certainly he can heal in the present and into the future as well. Supernatural healing or prayer that leads to healing is thought by many to be a rare, if non-existent, occurrence. But who says that healings are rare? Stories abound, some with physicians' statements included, or told by physicians themselves of people being healed through prayer. There's an Anglican priest, an Anglican canon as he's called. His name is Mark Pearson. And he tells a story about himself. He says, first of all, to declare that healing is rare says much about how little investigation the objector has done. I have heard many people state flatly that they knew of no one who has ever been healed through prayer, when I knew of several in their own communities whose healings were dramatic and lasting. Even healings were rare, he says, that if healings were rare, that would be a statement about what currently is, not about what is supposed to be. If healing is rare, could it be traceable to a lack of vital faith on the part of the Christian community? Often revival occurs when a remnant few in the church study the promise of Scripture and the experiences of the church in previous periods of fidelity and start praying for whatever is missing to occur again. End quote. Some might wonder, if healing is rare, why get people's hopes up only to disappoint them and hurt them emotionally and spiritually? The reality is that when we encourage people without setting them up for hurt. Physicians and therapists acknowledge how important in the healing process is one's belief in the possibility of getting better. Do physicians not encourage people with the same possibility of emotional hurt if the patient is not cured? We also need to ask how much damage is done by the opposite extreme. How many fewer healings would take place if the physician or therapist counseled a patient not to expect anything to happen? Yet how many in the church counsel people directly or indirectly not really to expect anything to happen when we pray? So why are some people not healed after receiving prayer? Well, I can think of 12 reasons why. And I'm going to share with you those 12 reasons, but I'm only going to elaborate or talk more at length about two of them. One reason that people may not be healed when they're prayed for is a wrong diagnosis. Sometimes we pray for the wrong thing, for the wrong condition. Another way is that we might be limiting God to only one method of healing, either through maybe doctors or medicine or just through prayer, where it might be a combination of things. Sometimes we might be holding on to sin. We might be hanging on to something in our lives that we're not willing to get rid of, and maybe that thing might be a block to healing. Another reason why healing may not take place as a result of prayer is a secret desire to stay sick. There are some who really don't want to get well, even though they may say that they do. Another reason for healing not occurring as a result of prayer is that some see healing only as instantaneous as a result of prayer and not maybe as progressive and gradual. Another reason why we may not see healing in prayer is that healing is not God's immediate will. It may be that God wants healing to happen, but it may not be right now. It may be down the road a while. Another reason why healing may not happen as a result of prayer is that this could be an illness that leads to death. We all are going to die of our last disease or accident. Another reason is that there's not enough power in the one ministry. Sometimes people praying for us may not have all that much faith in God's healing power. Another reason may be that there's no perseverance. Most people have no difficulty understanding the need for a lengthy course of medical treatment, but many expect God's healing power to happen immediately. In God's kingdom, number 10, God's kingdom realized only partially on earth now. What we believe is that we pray for God's kingdom to come. And when God's kingdom comes, that means his kingdom intervenes in our present world, in our present situation. And at times God's kingdom does come and intervene as a result of healing prayer. But not always. Supernatural healing comes in various times and various ways. Number 11 is one of the reasons I want to focus on right now for people not being healed when they are prayed for. And this reason sometimes is a result of things that we do to counteract God's healing, God's work. If we're praying for healing but indulging in things that hurt us, for example, a bad diet or lack of exercise or letting emotional hurts eat away at us or holding on to a root of bitterness, we may be blocking the healing or else reinfecting ourselves. There was a priest who shared a story along these lines, and he said that several years ago I had an ongoing stomach problem. at each team preparation meeting before our Friday night healing service, I asked our team to pray for me. They did, and the problem went away until Monday afternoon. The next Friday, they would pray again, and I would again be healed until Monday afternoon. Soon, one of the team members suggested that they pray for divine wisdom. And one of the team members did so and received a word of knowledge. "This may be nothing," she said, "but what comes to mind as we pray is a picture of a giant coffee pot. Father, how many cups of coffee do you drink during the course of a day?" I was shocked when I added up the number of cups. God was not punishing me or removing my healing. I was counteracting His work. So that may be another reason why healing doesn't take place when we pray. A last reason why healing doesn't take place, may not take place, when we pray is related to a touchy subject, and that is a lack of faith or a negative thinking, negative attitude. For some, a lack of faith is an easy solution to the problem of not being healed. For others, the idea that God would withhold a blessing because of some lack on our part is inconsistent with their view of God. As we look at examples of Jesus healing in the Gospels, for example, he sometimes healed people as a result of their faith, but there are other times when he healed people where faith didn't seem to be a part of the equation. Turn, if you will, to our Gospel lesson in Luke chapter 5. That's on page 1601 in the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 5, we'll look at verse 17. And this is the story of one of Jesus' healings that we just heard a few moments ago. And we read that Jesus was teaching the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and they had come from all around to hear his teaching. And the power of the Lord, it says, was with Jesus to heal the sick. And verse 18 says, "Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and they tried to get him into the house through the front door, but there were too many people in the house, so they couldn't get him in. So they weren't deterred by that, and they took him instead up on the roof, and took some of the tiles off of the roof and lowered him down into the meeting where Jesus was in front of the Savior. And so as they lowered him down in front of Jesus, when Jesus, it says, saw their faith in verse 20, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" You see, the Pharisees recognized that by Jesus claiming to forgive someone else's sins, he was claiming to be God, thus he was committing blasphemy because only God can forgive sins. So Jesus was making himself equal to God by claiming to be able to forgive someone's sins. And so in verse 22, Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Jesus was showing here that salvation not only has to do with the spirit, but also has to do with the body as well. And he could make the spirit whole as well as the body. And so by extending forgiveness to this man for his sins, this man's body was healed as well. And so as everyone began to praise God and they were amazed, they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." I believe that God wants to do remarkable things in our church. I believe he wants to do remarkable things through us as individual Christians. I believe he wants to do remarkable things out in the community through his people in this church. We unlock the door for him to do that by our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is much more than a positive mental attitude. It's really trust in the Lord, in who he is, and what he has done, and what he can do for us. Faith is entrusting ourselves, our hopes, our fears, our needs, and our hurts to God. It's trusting God enough for us to act, just as these men did in lowering this paralyzed man down into the presence of Jesus. We have a prayer team that is much like these people who lowered this man down. They are here at the front of the church at the end of each service, and we invite people to come and to receive prayer from them. You may not have faith to believe that God can heal you, but you might want to tie into their faith and perhaps through their faith, healing might come to you through their prayers. God may want to use you as an instrument of healing to someone else. Maybe someone that is a friend of yours, maybe someone in your neighborhood, someone in your community. And as you go out and the Holy Spirit might lead you to someone who has a physical need or emotional need or a spiritual need, and he might lead you to ask that person if they would like you to pray for them. And then if they said that they would be glad for you to pray for them, maybe you might lay a hand on their shoulder and you might pray just a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who heals. Now, Lord, I pray that you would heal this person of whatever condition it is. And just leave it at that. Leave the results up to the Lord. It could be as simple as that. God could use us as a part of his healing ministry. Some might say that a prayer like this, Lord, heal me if it is your will, is a prayer of doubt. Others might say that we might make a prayer like this, I am already healed. And that might be like a prayer of presumption. But may I suggest that there's kind of a middle ground between these two types of prayers? There's a prayer that really has a balance there. It's a prayer that I think we can best offer, and it would go something like this for healing. Lord, confident in both your promise and your example, I know you are on the side of health and of my being healed. I pray then, heal me in accordance with your will. I affirm your loving power and powerful love, and I leave the details up to you. A balanced prayer like that affirms confidently the fact that God wants to heal us, while it honors his sovereignty in allowing him to determine when and how. I want to conclude with two stories of healing. One is by a reporter by the name of Emily Gardner Neal. She set out to try to debunk or disprove the idea of spiritual healing, of people praying and being healed. And so she was invited to an Episcopal church healing service, and she noticed nearby that a little boy who was sitting near her, his hands were a mass of warts. And there was also a woman sitting next to her that had a large goiter on her neck. This reporter was shocked to see that after these two returned from being prayed for at the altar, the boy's hands were smooth as silk with no sign of warts at all. She then noticed the woman's neck, and there was no sign of the previously obvious goiter. Mrs. Neal later had lunch with her doctor, who was a close personal friend. Toward the end of the meal, he made a reference to a remarkable recovery, a girl she knew who was also a patient of this doctor. You could say it was a miracle. Neal said, I good-naturedly chided him, a medical man, for his choice of the word miracle. That's about the only word you can use in a case like this, he commented dryly. And this is not by any means the first I have seen. The doctor then related one particular inexplicable healing that had occurred among his patients, including one apparently instantaneous healing of carefully diagnosed inoperable cancer. I saw a woman day before yesterday, the doctor said, who was scheduled to go in for a goiter operation today. She went to a service last week and claimed her goiter spontaneously disappeared. All I know is there was no sign of it when I examined her 2 days ago. Neal said, I looked up startled. Was she a small woman, dark eyes and hair? Did she wear a gray coat with a large fur collar? The doctor nodded, yes, Mrs. J. She lives down the street from you. Do you know her? I sat beside her when she was healed, Neal said. God can still do the miraculous. Sometimes the miraculous may occur in an unexpected way. Tony Campolo tells the story about being in a church in Oregon where he was asked to pray for a man who had cancer. Campolo prayed boldly for this man's healing. The next week, he got a telephone call from the man's wife. She said, you prayed for my husband. He had cancer. Campolo thought when he heard her use the past tense verb that his cancer had been eradicated. But before he could think much about it, she said, he died. Campolo felt terrible. But she continued, don't feel bad. When he came into that church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short period of time, but he hated God. He was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. He was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed and curse God. The more his anger grew towards God, the more miserable he was to everyone around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence. But the lady told Kampalo, after you prayed for him, a peace had come over him and a joy had come into him. Tony, the last 3 days have been the best days of our life. We've sung, we've laughed, we've read scripture, we've prayed. Oh, they've been wonderful days. And I call to thank you for laying your hands on him and praying for healing. And then she said something incredibly profound. She said, he wasn't cured, but he was healed. Many people are in need of God's healing touch. Maybe some of you here today. And maybe you've just kind of given up on the idea that God can heal you or that God wants to heal you. But maybe you might begin to reconsider the possibility that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, might be here today to provide healing for you. Maybe healing through our prayer team. Maybe healing through the sacrament that we're going to receive in a moment. Maybe healing just through your own connection with Christ here at the service. I want to conclude with a prayer that I mentioned earlier on in my sermon. And I'd like to ask that maybe you make that your prayer. If you need healing today, make that your prayer, and perhaps God might work through this prayer to provide healing for you in your life. So let us pray. Lord, confident in both your promise and your example, I know you are on the side of health and of my being healed. I pray then, heal me in accordance with your will. I affirm your loving power and powerful love. And I leave the details up to you. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who has forgiven my sins, that you are a God who loves me with an everlasting love. I thank you that you are a God who cares for me. And Lord, I put my trust in you now for my healing. Whether it be now or later, Lord, I look to you as the solution for that which ails me. Lord, I thank you that you are a God whom I can trust. And now, Lord, I submit all that concerns me into your loving hands, asking that you take control of my life and of my situation, now and always. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.